Welcome back to Some Time to Explain, the internet's premier leftist destiny lore podcast. This is episode 28. My name is Kit. My pronouns are he, him, or they, them. And joining me, as usual, is my co-host, Mike.
Hello, I'm Mike. My pronouns are he, him.
Hey,
what's
bud.
Up? Hey.
We did it.
Nailed it.
First try. yeah. I was just saying it's been like 6 months of Some Time to Explain. Just marveling at that with Mike before we started recording. So thank you to anyone who's been with us for this journey. I'm constantly amazed making this thing for y'all and with you, Mike. So it's really fun.
Yeah, it's fun. So I'm on the clapping website.
Okay.
You'll never guess what day it is today.
What day is it?
The International Day for the Eradication of Poverty.
Oh.
Yeah, and so I clicked on that. It's like a link.
Uh-huh.
And I found out where these days are coming from.
Is it the United Nations?
Yes.
Oh.
You know, one of the organizations keeping people in poverty.
Of course.
So I just had to laugh.
Wow.
Like, this article that it links to about ending poverty, like, the second sentence starts with, according to the World Bank.
I see. Right.
I was just like,
according to this thing that we created. I see.
Yeah. What a bunch of bullshit.
It's all very abstract. It's all like, according to, here are the numbers on poverty. It's very
according
a lot of
to
passive
us.
A lot of passive boys doing a lot of heavy lifting in here. This feels like something I would read in like a high school textbook.
Yeah.
You know? It's very dry.
Seems fake.
Well, now I guess we know. I guess.
Yeah, I think now we know what the holidays are. Yeah, I think a lot of the reason for the reaction we had last week is explained by this.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
They all have to be. Arbitrary holidays, in my opinion, should really be arbitrary. Like, they shouldn't be trying to do anything especially, like, big or important. It should just be stupid days for, like, petting dogs or laying on your back in the grass or something. Just, like, nice things, ideas of nice things to do on any given day is what I would like to see.
It's such, like, a knuckleheaded thing to be, like, there's a link on here that's, like, why do we have these why are we recognizing these days? Like, why are we doing this?
Uh-huh.
Which, you know, if you have to make an article but for that, I don't know. Maybe that says something. But it's like, we're trying to raise awareness. It's like, I don't think any awareness needs to be raised about people being in poverty. I think people are pretty fucking aware that they're in poverty.
Yeah. Well, no, it's the eradication of poverty. You know, it's not even about people in poverty at that point. It's about getting rid of the idea, sort of that whole thing.
But it's like, then you read it and it's like, oh, COVID-19 is pushing people into poverty.
Right, that's what it is.
As if the virus is out there putting a gun to people's heads.
As if the virus and poverty are operating on the same level at all.
Like, they're on the fucking Legion of Doom. Like,
right, uh-huh.
Yes!
Yeah.
And not the article doesn't just link to a picture of Jeff Bezos.
Right.
That's like, right. This one person could end poverty if he gave a shit.
Right. Yeah, and instead is just choosing not to do so. Exactly. It's very like
couldn't be a systematic issue that allows for the conditions that the couldn't be the system built on keeping people in poverty or anything
like that. Poverty couldn't be a threat used by, you know, the ruling class against people to conform and produce labor to produce value. Like, couldn't possibly be related there.
No, it's COVID with a mustache tying people to fucking train tracks.
Yeah, right. And the UN being kind of... I don't know enough about the UN to really talk about it, to be honest, but like from a leftist perspective with any kind of nuance, but at the very least I can critique their International Day program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess my basic take at my early stage is like it's an excuse to do interventionalism under the guise of quote unquote peacekeeping. So it's like, it would be like super obvious if we just rolled our militaries into these developing nations. So we'll send a military with like a blue helmet that says UN on it into there to make it look like we're helping.
Yeah. Okay. Makes
like,
sense.
It's like a big PR stunt.
Gotcha. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a digression.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about Destiny 2?
Nah.
Want to do some Destiny chatting?
Nah.
No, that's fine.
That's it. Thanks for coming. Join us next time.
Sometime to explain International Politics Edition.
Yeah. That's basically every episode, so.
Sometime to explain : the UN.
Oh no.
Uh-oh. Yeah. This was the first week of the Festival of the Lost in the Season of the Lost. The Halloween event. I made a Halloween costume for my guardian to go with that. I did post that on Twitter if you'd like to view it. I don't know if it's to your taste, Mike. I know we sometimes have differing Destiny outfit tastes, but I really like it. I made him into like a shiny astronaut, so
yeah,
that's
I think
really
it's fun.
Mm-hmm. I love seeing all the Halloween costumes people are coming up with. It's great. Did you make a costume? I think I saw you.
Not in that same way. I in past seasons, I think they have it again in the store, but they made a set where it's like a. They made an older set all a dark color and then made it look as if a glow-in-the-dark skeleton.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Each set has a different design on it, but the Warlock one is like this, like a thrall. And I put that on and I put the mask on and I kind of went with a Hidden Swarm theme. Mm-hmm. So I got the Acolyte, the Hidden Swarm Acolyte mask, and I had nice. the I had the thorn ornament that looks like the Red Keep.
Oh, cool.
Aesthetic, so I, like, pulled that out of the vault.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I don't know.
So, yeah, you did make a Halloween costume. You're, yeah, like a cybernetic red swarm hive creature.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. Yeah, I... Before we get too deep into that, though, did you want to talk about something with Crow?
Yeah, just that we're past the end of the seasonal story until whatever... We're assuming there'll be some kind of epilogue leading into Witch Queen, so...
Right.
We're as far as the weekly story updates go, we're kind of on hiatus with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you're... You know, if you're not playing the game and you don't know that that's what's happening, we're gonna be talking about things that surround the season from here on out, bringing up topics that we're following personally and going through all the rest of the items and lore tabs that came out this season, you know, through until February, so...
Right.
if story things pop up, we will definitely be talking about them. Mm-hmm. But just to kind of give a heads up about the format of the show.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a longer period of that format than we've had to date. So
yes,
we'll see what kinds of stuff we end up covering and talking about and... yeah, if you have any thoughts, like Mike said, about any of that stuff, any of the lore attached to armor or weapons or anything that's struck you, feel free to let us know. Or just thoughts about the state of the game in general. Not that that's not our primary goal on this podcast is about the lore, but we talk a fair amount about the game itself, you know, as evidenced by last week's Content Vault discussion. So happy to hear perspectives about that stuff, too.
Yeah. So with that context, something I thought was interesting was, although we didn't get a story mission like we have been typically getting, there was the context for this year's Festival of the Lost relies on where we left off in the story.
What do you mean?
So, this year's Festival of the Lost is all based around Glint.
Okay, yeah.
And Glint and Crow have sort of had a little bit of...
They've separated. They're separated from one another after Crow discovers his past as Uldren.
Yeah. So Glint is, like, having this solo adventure that we're accompanying him on.
Right.
So even though there wasn't a story mission, an item that came out with the Festival of the Lost is the exotic sparrow that you get when you... I don't know. I don't remember what the requirements are, but it's one of the items you get with... what's her name?
Eva.
Space Grandma. Eva.
Eva.
So
I read that today, but I felt kind of guilty for doing it because I haven't earned the sparrow in the game yet, but I did read I did read that.
Yeah. Yeah, so that item sets up in terms of like when it occurs, mm-hmm. that lore tab on that sets up it's like set before the event starts.
Yeah.
And it's following up on Crow. Where we left off with him was he asked Ikora to be reassigned,
right?
Which she did, and now he's been assigned as the emissary to Keitel and the Cabal Empire,
mm-hmm.
or her Cabal Empire.
Mm-hmm.
So we find Crow on Keitel's ship, and Crow and Glint are talking. About if you read it more recently than me, you might need to refresh me on
yeah,
this. But.
Yeah, so I was just trying to find it again, but I couldn't remember the name of the sparrow, so...
I don't remember why Glint wants to do this.
Well, Glint says, basically, like, you're perfectly safe here, which I thought was interesting, that Keitel can't harm Crow without causing kind of an international incident because he's the emissary. So he's got a diplomatic immunity. So Glint says, you know, hey, do you mind if I take off to pursue this individual research that I have? I can't remember how...
Was he saying that the other... I'm trying to remember, like, was there a voice line in the first haunted sector where he's talking about, like, the other ghosts told him a story about the Headless Ones?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I was trying to remember, of, like, what put this idea in his head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's all it was just... If that's wrong, I'll find it later. I just... It's not easy to find right now, so... Anyway, so that's how we got to, you know, the Festival of the Lost, featuring Glint as our mission commander, the voice in our ear. I think this is a big improvement over the Festival of the Lost last year. Well, let me back up and say that one of the cool things about this festival this year is that along with the rewards that you can get, one of the major motivators for doing the seasonal activity is this lore book, the Book of the Forgotten. So as you go through the game and you go through the ritual activities, you obtain pages, spectral pages, which you can then turn into manifested pages by doing these haunted lost sectors, so lost sectors that have the Headless Ones in them and that have some Halloween decorations placed around. And you do these with Glint kind of telling you a ghost story about them or a sort of spooky version of the story of the lost sector. So I've been really enjoying the getting to go back to the lost sectors in a different way. They just kind of exploring those spaces with a different gameplay activity going on in them. And I've been really enjoying getting to know Glint more as a fun new character. We heard some legends about these lost sectors from Ghost in the past, like when you first discover them, I believe. But Glint's bringing kind of his own, I call it like the spooky Mulder vibes, into these areas has been really fun and refreshing.
Mulder is an X-Files Mulder?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I can't believe you made a reference to something from the 90s.
Why? I've watched the X-Files. It has Gillian Anderson in it, and look at her. You know?
I agree.
Yeah.
I do know.
Yeah, definitely. It's great. It's a classic. I haven't watched all of the X-Files because there's so much of it. But yeah. one of the reasons that I say that is because the pages in that Book of the Forgotten lore book, a lot of them are Glint believing in this phenomenon of the Headless Ones and other characters kind of scoffing at him. So it's got that whole dynamic. We're going to talk about those pages more later because we haven't had a chance to unlock them all because we are busy.
Also, there's a fuck ton of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not quick to get them.
It's not quick to get them. It is quick to read them, though. They are, like, very short microfiction pieces. So once you do start unlocking them, it does go pretty quickly, but it's pretty grindy to get them in the first place. Continuing a trend of especially grindy seasonal, not seasonal events, but like themed events, which is bad if you have something like a repetitive stress injury that can get aggravated by long hours of playing something. So don't love that, but do love being rewarded for doing in-game activities with pages of lore. I'm enjoying that. I'm finding that very, very motivating, and especially that they are short, just and kind of incidental. They're pretty fun and funny. So we'll talk about them more in detail later. But overall, the structure of this event is working for me pretty nicely, and is much less boring for me than the Haunted Forest event that took its place last year. So, yeah. How are you finding Glint? What do you think?
I mean, I like Glint as a character. Mm-hmm. I like the framing of this event. It feels very much like we're taking Glint trick-or-treating or something.
Yeah.
Just in case it wasn't obvious, the Festival of the Lost is Destiny's Halloween event.
Yeah.
It's very, very thin in-universe justification for it having blatant modern-day, real-life Halloween theming.
Halloween, but it's also got, like, some Day of the Dead stuff going
yeah,
on with
it's,
it, too. Like,
well,
it's kind
well,
of a mishmash of different things.
I was just gonna say, like, in terms of the decoration... Mm-hmm. And the theming, it's like, fucking Nightmare Before Christmas, Halloween Town,
yeah,
aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
But the in-universe justification for the event is closer to what. To my limited understanding of a Day of the Dead.
Yes.
Meaning.
Yeah.
Where you're celebrating and remembering those who have passed.
Right.
As opposed to just being spooky trick-or-treat mm-hmm. kind of shit.
So that's the justification, even though there is also spooky trick-or-treat shit happening, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And they, uh-huh. I think this was, I mean, yeah, I feel like this was the first year that they, and maybe I'm wrong and I'm just missing, I've just overlooked the things that were more Day of the Dead vibes in the past, but, like, they mm-hmm. added the Calavera ghost shell this year, which
yep.
I felt was, like, the first real explicit acknowledgement of that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the kind of set that I have is sort of, like, more Day of the Dead, but I don't know, in that it's more skeletal in its mm-hmm. design, but it doesn't have the same, I don't know, I don't
yeah.
really think it's the same.
Right.
So it's just funny, because they wanted to have both.
Yeah.
Of
right,
like, the soundtrack literally has, like, witches cackling in the background and, like
uh-huh.
floorboards creaking and ghost chains rattling and shit, but then you go to Eva and she's like, we have to remember those who have passed on.
Yeah, that's not really coming through so much.
Yeah, yeah.
In the actual, like, gameplay loop and everything.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's, like, nothing to do with that at all.
No, uh-uh.
Yeah, that's just the... So that's the only thing I wanted to talk about was like, that that is the... In-universe, this is, like, the Destiny Day of the Dead, but
mm-hmm.
in practice, it's just Halloween.
Right.
It's just what we in the U.S. would know as Halloween.
Yeah, right. And...
Yeah.
Right, but... And the thing with the Calavera ghost shell is they did also make it part of, like, Bungie spotlighted it in their news post for a couple weeks ago, and had, like, an interview with the designer of it and everything, and it's, like, if you were just reading this and not playing the game, you'd think, oh, how neat, a Day of the Dead inspired festival in Destiny. But this is like one item among,
yeah,
as you were saying, like the
next to the fucking horrifying spider sparrow.
Yeah, right. And the like pumpkin headed hive knights that were fighting, and you know the aesthetic trappings of, you know, mainstream U.S. Halloween. So I hadn't really thought about that before just now. So glad we were able to tease that out a bit.
Yeah, something I miss a little bit that I thought was fun from past years was there's been this like running gag in Festival of the Lost, because this was in D1 as well, just did not have as much this is definitely the most effort I feel has been put into this event. Like,
yeah.
Let me clarify.
Yeah.
Like, this is the most narrative context that's been provided for this event, like, ever, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed.
In previous years, I've definitely gotten the impression, like, my experience has been, you know, the date rolls around, all the stuff drops into the tower, and it's just like, okay, this is here now.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the kind of narrative context.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's fun.
Definitely.
One thing that I am missing has been there being a running gag of going around to the different characters and as if you are trick-or-treating,
mm-hmm,
and they give you a different kind of joke in universe items. And the running gag has been that whenever you go to Eris, she gives you something really boring and like healthy. So she would be like the house on the block that would get tic-tacked or whatever, because she was like giving out apples.
Yeah. Or like granola bars.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. So, like, do you know about this at all?
I don't remember it specifically, no.
Okay. Would you like to hear about it?
I would, yeah.
Okay. So, in D1, she gave you a box of raisins. And
also known as Astro's Bane.
Oh, yeah. I forget the requirements to do so now, but
mm-hmm,
there was an additional step you could take later, which I think was added in a subsequent year to follow up on it, because you could like you just keep them in your inventory and they didn't have any purpose. It was just a joke.
Yeah.
But people, of course, like built it up into something and were like, there must be a reason to have these.
Right. Can't get rid of them in case I might need them in the future.
Yeah, they might do something.
Mm-hmm.
So I forget now why, but at some point later you could do something and turn them into ascendant raisins, which was very silly.
That's goofy. That's cute.
So then in D2, I think, was it D1 or D2? It's just been too long that I've been playing this franchise that they put together. But so at one point, she also gave us like celery sticks.
Like ants on a log.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Except without the peanut butter. And in D2, I don't think it was last year, but maybe it was. Maybe it was the year before that. Maybe it was last year, because it must have been Shadowkeep year, because Eris was on the moon. I don't fucking know. Anyway. I know it's Destiny 2, and she gave us a toothbrush.
Oh, fuck. That's really funny.
Yeah. And this time, the joke was that you could use the toothbrush. You could, like, hover over it and press F to use the toothbrush.
Oh, good. Would you get, like, a buff or something? Like, shiny teeth?
No, but the flavor text said something to that effect.
Uh-huh.
Like, now you have a fresh mouth with clean teeth. And then the item changed to a used toothbrush. And the description said, this may have some use later.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a used toothbrush. Wait, did they take it away? I can't remember now. I don't know if they took it away. For a long time, I had a used toothbrush sitting in my inventory.
Oh my god. Was it in your in your inventory or in your vault?
In my inventory.
Wow.
Let me see if I still have it.
This must have been further back than last year, because I don't think I got that. I don't remember anything about
that. Oh, okay. Maybe it was the year before.
It must have been. That's very funny.
Okay, it is in my vault now.
Okay.
I did move it to my vault, yeah. Use toothbrush. Though your mouth is now minty fresh, there doesn't appear to be any other benefit. Perhaps it can be used later.
Well, you gotta keep it there, just in case.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, my toothbrush is at Eris's place.
Yeah, that's what it all comes down to.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's why she gave
us
the toothbrush, was to freshen up for kissing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
for
yeah.
For smooching.
Right. She wasn't trying to tell me something.
No, definitely not. I don't know. They don't have mouthwash on the moon.
Hmm. I was just going to say, I always liked that goof.
Yeah.
And they didn't do anything else with Eris this season, so...
Yeah.
Maybe that would have called more attention to them not having done anything with her, but I did miss that goof, because it was pretty reliable.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Just a little...
Always...
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked going around to the different characters and, like, getting the different joke items, so I always thought it was funny, so...
Yeah. I think they've put that kind of jokey spirit into the lore pages, but it's not as fun. It's kind of fun to actually get a little item in your inventory.
Yeah.
That can then make you kind of smile and nod.
They did... The one place that this manifested was... They did call... What's the phrase? I don't know if called my bluff is the right phrase, but they... I brought up in a prior episode about, like, this would be a good time for that Ascendant Lens to come in handy.
Yeah.
And we did go and hand the Ascendant Lens to Mara, so...
Yep. She was like, you can't do anything with this, but my Techians can. And we're like, great, thank you.
I liked the description. She was like, why do you have this?
Yeah.
How did you get this?
Why do you have this? You don't even know what to do with it. Give that
you
to
should
me.
Not have this
yeah. Right, it was very like, give that to me, you stupid baby. It was like when your dog grabs something that they're not supposed to have in their mouth. She's like, why do you have that? And the guardian spits it out at her feet.
It's that video of the little kid in the backyard. Like,
what do you have?
A knife. no
Yeah, exactly. That's the kind of Oh my
like,
God.
Yeah, why don't you just hand that over to me very slowly?
Yeah. So you finally, speaking of things, you know, staying in your inventory, and because they might be useful later, you finally get to use that and hand that in from last year's Festival of the Lost. I guess it could be seen as a very early teaser of what this season was going to be about. Yeah, it was fun to get to hand that in. I was like, oh, good. I get to do something with this silly thing I have. Great. Awesome. I like stuff like that, I have to say. I do like to be rewarded for squirreling something away in my inventory.
It would have been cooler if we actually used it, because it was... The description on it was like, oh, peering through this allows you to see into the Ascendant Plane.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this would be... That's like literally what we're doing this season.
Uh-huh.
So it would have been cool if it, like, factored into the puzzle somehow in the, in the Ascendant, in like in the Shattered Realm or something. Yeah,
or it would be a really cool item to be able to place in like your tent on Europa or something like that.
Mm.
You know, like that's, I would like to be able to just have a little Ascendant lens portal to look through somewhere in my player housing or something like that.
Right. Yeah, I was just about to say, in my non-existent apartment.
Yeah, exactly.
That I keep asking for.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, that could be nice. But I wasn't really expecting much more than a couple of lines of text for this thing and some miscellaneous loot, so that was fine for me.
I was like, okay, fine.
That's nice. I didn't feel like, you know, thrilled or super excited or anything, but it was nice to finally get to use it. Well, do you have any other Festival of the Lost thoughts that you want to talk about? Any other things that stood out to you at this point?
I guess the main one is really just kind of tying back to our brief discussion about how the characters in the game talk about it as a remembrance of people that have passed, and how we were saying, like, in terms of what we're actually doing in the game, like, we're not doing any of that. I don't know if maybe that's part of the lore book that will, 'cause I haven't read any of it yet, so maybe that will be where that happens, but it would be that there are plenty of characters in Destiny's history, probably the overwhelming majority of them at this point, that are no longer around.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be like another way to point people in directions in the lore.
Uh-huh.
Like, that would be, you know, if Bungie's looking for any ideas, like, that would be something I would go towards, of like...
That makes sense, yeah.
Like, there's plenty of characters that have interesting stories that could be part of this event. Like,
yeah.
You know, Cade.
Yeah, Cade, for example.
I mean, there's plenty of deeper cuts, but uh-huh. I'm just thinking, like, you know, we talk all the time about this fucking Exodus Crash Strike, and who the fuck is Cade Six?
Mm-hmm.
He's nowhere else in the game.
Mm-hmm.
This would be, like, a very... easy, well, I say easy, but I think it would be an appropriate time to talk about him if somebody is wondering about him, and other such characters, so.
Mm-hmm.
It's just weird to me that that's not part of it.
Yeah, that's a good point. That, I think that's a great idea. I could see how it could also, if not done well, could just come across as, like, a string of names that, you know, a player is like, why is this getting inserted into my goofy Halloween event? When games do versions of real-world holidays, they often feel kind of, like, necessarily just plopped in there.
But they, like, bother to make an in-universe justification for it, like...
Yeah.
Might as well go for it.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess it makes sense. It doesn't. I guess it doesn't bother me too much that it's a pretty thin justification. I'm like, okay.
I don't know if it bothers me. It's just it's just weird to me.
Like a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. Yeah. It would be interesting. It would be fun. I'm not fully convinced that it wouldn't be, like, even more weird and dissonant, but... So you're saying, like, you'd like it to lean more into being, like, an in-universe event that is more tied to everything. Whereas I'm kind of... I'm like, I don't mind that it's just kind of a light justification and a thinly veiled Halloween event.
I'll say if you're gonna bother to make the justification for it,
yeah,
to be, we're gonna remember all of our fallen city heroes, mm-hmm. and then there's zero, and then the main thing you're doing is hearing like a spooky like a silly ghost story from Glint,
mm-hmm.
like, and then people wonder why the lore is so fucking obscure to people.
Yeah.
Like, it just feels like a super obvious entry point to be like, this festival celebrates our fallen heroes.
Who are they?
Yeah.
Right.
Who is that? Who are you talking about?
Yeah.
You're clearly talking about somebody when you say that.
Uh-huh.
Who is it?
Right.
Oh, the city has a bunch of fallen heroes? That's news to me. Who are some of them?
Uh-huh.
Right. I'm not saying you need to have, like, a whole shit ton of stuff, but if we're going to spend, like, 47 pages...
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah, right. If we're going to spend 47 pages of something to read, could it be something, you know, about these characters that we have lost in honor of them and not kind of the goofy thing it is?
Yeah, I don't have... Okay. And just to be clear, I don't have a problem with it being a goofy thing.
Yeah.
I just... It's just like... All these stories are sitting there. Like, I don't know, let's talk about Wei Ning or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instead of... Whatever is happening.
Yeah. Yeah, they could actually tell stories like that. It probably would be a good place to put, like, a fire team in the Vault of Glass kind of story, too.
Right. That's what I'm saying. There's all these stories.
Yeah.
The majority of Destiny lore is these kind of stories. It doesn't need to be a lot, you know? Like, I could see it be, you know, a counter being like, well, that starts to balloon really quickly. We're not putting... This is just a seasonal event.
Mm-hmm.
But you could put some breadcrumbs at least.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't need you to tell me the whole story, but you could point me in a direction at least.
Right. Or you could, like, pull stuff that's been vaulted too. Like, you could.
We could, yeah.
You could.
I was going to say, like, we talked before about, like, keywords. Mm-hmm. You could give me some keywords.
Mm-hmm.
You could say some of these names. And if the heavy lifting is on my part to follow up on them, I think that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But at least point me in that direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At least be like, a memory of our fallen heroes, such as...
Uh-huh.
Wei Ning.
Uh-huh.
Praedith.
Yeah.
Cade Six.
Yeah.
Andal Brask.
Right.
Like, there's a long lineage of people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Eris's fire team.
Yeah.
Like...
Right, tell some of these stories about the lost and show that. Yeah, I guess that would be a good direction for it to take. That's not really what they're doing, but I see what you're saying. Like, if you're
like, even if nothing else was changed about the event, even just going that far to, like, just make it feel more convincing as a
memorial, like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. A good thought. I hadn't really thought that deeply about it, so good point there.
Thanks. Yeah, and like, I know probably, like, I guess you would want to maybe take kind of like a bittersweet angle. Like, it's not like you want to make it like depressing.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, well, they probably thought, oh, that's too sad.
But even just a couple lines like that to just point people in a direction of, like, what does Eva mean when she says that? Who is she talking about? Like,
right.
or even to just be like, hey, remember the Red War? Like, we've been through some shit. We've lost a lot of people over the years.
Mm-hmm.
We're this is the time to reflect on that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, the Red War. Oh, like, let me go look that up because it's not in the fucking game anymore. Like,
yeah. Right.
But there are stories from that time period, like,
mm-hmm.
floating around still that somebody could track down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like, just that kind of stuff. Like, mm-hmm. It could just be on that first text screen when you talk to Eva, but, like,
mm-hmm.
instead she just has one line about it, and then she talks about Glint's fucking trick-or-treating, so. Which I don't have a problem with. I'm just saying, like, it doesn't, it, at least in my, perception, what is another couple sentences on that text screen?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Hell yeah, that makes total sense.
So yeah, I think that's everything I have to say about it for now.
Okay, and all right.
We'll see after I finish this lore book what else comes of it.
Yeah, I'm interested to talk to you after you've gotten a little deeper into that and after I've finished it. I'm definitely looking forward to grinding it out, I have to say. Sometimes that is fun. So
at least the pages aren't fucking RNG.
Yeah, I know. I was going to talk about that, too. I'm very glad the way that it's set up is getting a currency and then spending that currency and not a random page drops. That's the right move for sure.
The system is kind of confusing.
It's like maybe one step more complicated than I want it to be, but it's...
I just wish there was something in the game that you could just be like, what's the system again? Like, what is the... Like, I don't exactly remember what order I'm supposed to do things in. Like, let me just refer back to this quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, the only way to really do that is, like, the descriptions of items. But there isn't really, like, a tutorial or refresher page at all in Destiny. You kind of have to go ask someone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Would you like to do the outro?
Yes.
Okay.
So, not a lot of big leftist thoughts today. If that's what you're coming here
for.
Sorry. Having a chill time. Maybe we'll have more of those later. No promises. But thank you everyone for listening. We got a lot of nice comments from our friends after the last episode. And just want to say that means a lot to have that feedback. So,
yeah.
We enjoy doing this.
It's also a lot of work, so thank you for listening and, you know, and making that work feel, like, worth it and exciting to do.
Yes, I thrive on validation, so.
Don't we all?
Thank you very much.
Yeah, really, thank you.
I would be doing this anyway, but but it's a big motivator to hear that feedback, mm-hmm. So thank you.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much.
If you would like to send us feedback or questions or anything else that's not spoilers, you can do that at sometimetoexplain@gmail.com. If you would like to find Kit online, where can they find you, Kit?
You can follow me on Twitter for all my best looks. That's Kit_Boyote, which is coyote, but with a B instead of a C in front. Where can people find you on the internet, Michael?
Oh, you can find me also on Twitter @MattClubbin, or on my website, michaelmccubbin.com, or at my Yu Yu Hakusho watch-along podcast I do with our friend Andrew, @WatchingSpirits on Twitter, which is called Talking the Spirit Realm.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued by the idea of just watching, like, one arc of Yu Yu Hakusho. I don't know if I can commit to all of it, but
I mean, it's a good show,
yeah.
Like, it turns out.
Yeah.
At least, you know, in my memory, it was, and it's really fun going back to it now, and I've... Because I barely remember.
Mm-hmm.
I remember some things, mm-hmm. but not a lot. So it's fun to revisit it for me. Andrew's watching it for the first time, so it's a good mix of experiences, and we're both having a blast.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, I would say at the point we're at now, we're like a little over 20 episodes in. We're about to, like, finish off the first season.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say if you're going to watch anything, like, definitely watch the first 5 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
They're, like, genuinely great, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's high praise, like, for, like, a 90s shonen show. Well.
So anyway, if you're going to watch something, I recommend that first 5 episodes.
All right.
See if you like it.
Yeah. I probably will at some point. Yeah. Now that I've finished Gundam.
Yay!
Yeah, but now I have a free spot in my anime watching library, so maybe I'll check it out.
Great.
That would make it more fun to listen to the podcast as I do. I'm just like, yeah,
thank
you guys are totally right. I've never seen the show.
Anything else?
Can't think of anything today. I think I'm all
good. All right, let's go get some more candy.
Yeah, in real life and in the game.
Yes.
Oh, I love Halloween candy.
Thank you so much for joining us. We will see you right here next time on Sometime to Explain.
Bye. Spooky. Bye.
Bye. Halloween candy.
Reese's ghosts or pumpkins.
Ah.
Yeah. The holiday Reese's had the best ratio of peanut butter to chocolate. What about you?
Interesting. Interesting.
That's how I feel anyway. Dude,
backing it up with science. Wow.
Yeah. I've
Not something
about this a
I
lot.
Expected. Wow. Wow.
Do you have a favorite?
Very good. Butterfingers are my favorite.
Oh,
that's like my favorite candy.
Wow, those are tough to eat for the mouth.
Huh.
That's like a sharp candy.
Hmm. I guess.
I have sensitive teeth and gums, so to me, I think of Butterfinger and I just think, ow, my mouth.
Oh.
But it's also so good. Like, that mix of textures is so delicious.
Don't have a cow, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
Yeah, that's a good. Those are good. Both peanut
crackles
butter.
Crackles are also good.
I don't know what crackles are. What's that?
It's like it has like the crunchies in it. I think it's like, I don't know if it's like rice or something.
I just googled crackles to try and like find out what this is, and I just got bronchiolitis, just a bunch of things about like lung problems.
God. Oh Jesus.
It's all crackles. No, I mean
it's
the
chocolate
candy.
a chocolate bar with like crunchy rice or whatever.
Oh,
the
with
fuck
a K
is in it.
Crackle. Yes, those are good. Yeah. I like like Rice Krispies. But
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. With chocolate around it.
Yeah, those are good.
Yeah. If any of these are Nestle, Nestle's super evil, so...
Oh, true, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, true, sorry.